From high atop the Camelback Towers in Scottsdale, from the Star Worldwide Network Studios, this is Checking In with Check for a Lump. Arizona's prominent breast cancer nonprofit, providing free education, mammograms, wigs, and support. Now, let's check in with Check for a Lump.
Woohoo! We have a great show for you today. Today we are going to have Care for the Caregivers. And I am your host today, Holly Rose, the founder and CEO of Check for a Lump. And I've got my co-host here, my wonderful wing woman.
Hey guys, it's Ashley Plum here with Director of Development at Check for a Lump.
Yeah, so we are excited. Before we get rolling, I want to thank our annual title sponsors. This podcast would not be available if it wasn't for their support. So thank you to the Arizona Center for Reconstructive Breast Surgery, Cancer and Blood Specialists of Arizona, Cigna, Harvest True Leave, The Mint, Pfizer, and Sonora Quest Laboratories. So Ashley and I are both survivors. We went through our breast cancer journeys, and caregivers are such an important part of your treatment process. Wouldn't you agree, Ashley?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so I know for my treatment, my husband was my hero. Oh my goodness, I couldn't have gone through it without him. Our girls were 9 and 10 at the time, and because of the myriad of side effects, I just couldn't keep up with our family, and he was able to step in, take care of me, take care of our girls, and take care of the house. How about you?
Yeah, my husband was a great support system, and you know, my daughter was older. She was 15, 16, I believe, when I was going through treatment. So she was a little bit older, so she could help with things too. So, you know, I call them my co-survivors because they survived the whole journey right along with me, both of them supporting every step of the way. And I had some great, amazing friends and family as well, you know, that, you know, we got to incorporate all of them as also for our co-survivors and caregivers, because you can't do this alone.
No, you can't. And I was the reason Check for a Lump is here is because of that support system I had. I feel very blessed that I had a huge community just wrap their arms around me and my family, and they brought us meals for weeks at a time. They chauffeured our kids to and from school. They cleaned our house, did our laundry, and you know, and again, I had my husband to help. And I always thought, gosh, what about the people who don't have support, who don't have that caregiver, that co-survivor? How are they getting through that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so important, the caregiver we want to focus on. And yes, so happy to have Michelle, our Care for the Caregivers, with us today. Michelle, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me today.
Yeah, so excited. So we just discovered who you are. You happen to be our neighbor at our office, and it just by chance we ran into, and I thought, what a beautiful program and a very important topic. So can you tell us who Care for the Caregivers are and the service that you provide?
Sure. So Care for the Caregivers exists to help those who are raising children with disabilities. I have two kids who are diagnosed with autism. I myself am also autistic. And when my kids were diagnosed, I had a hard time coping with not only just the emotional fallout of that, but also struggling to find the services I need, to find my community, to find people who can relate what I'm going through. And just to know that I'm okay and that I'm not alone and that my kids will be okay at the end of the day. And there's a real gap when you see the amount of services that are given to the children. Yes, the children need all of those services, that care and that support. But if the parents are not doing okay, then our kids are not doing okay. And so Care for the Caregivers exists to support the parents, the grandparents, the aunts, the nieces, the nephews, whoever is raising a child with a disability, because the stress that is put upon those people is immense, and it leads to devastating consequences if we're not keeping an eye on the health and wellness of caregivers themselves.
And you touched on the, you know, making sure that the health and wellness of the caregiver is important. And, you know, can you expand on that a little bit more as far as your experience with caregivers and, you know, what kind of health issues they may or may not have?
Yeah, so there are scientific studies. We're going to talk about science a little bit. My previous life was as a geneticist, so I'm a bit of a nerd.
But when you
love it.
Do I have company here in the nerddom?
I appreciate the nerd world because without them, where would we be?
Exactly. I agree.
That's awesome. So what we know, what studies have shown, is that parents who are raising kids with disabilities exhibit PTSD-like symptoms. They actually have the same biological characteristics as soldiers do that come from warlike situations.
Wow, that's interesting.
Right? And that has a lot of consequences, both physical and emotional. So we know caregivers are extremely stressed. We know many caregivers are extremely sleep deprived. And we know that they are constantly living in a state of anxiety and anxiousness. And what this means is that they have really high cortisol levels. Now, when your body goes into this state of having high cortisol levels, it means that your body no longer goes through this chemical reaction called like apoptosis, right? Which is your body's way of getting rid of dead or damaged cells.
Yeah, that's the cells committing suicide. I don't belong here. I am a mutant and I need to They kill themselves. Apoptosis.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, we learn about that in some of our conferences that we go to further our education and knowledge on breast cancer. And, you know, and you joke about, you know, having the science, the nerd brain. And it's amazing because, you know, not as a negative thing at all, but as an amazing, you know, talent that, you know, yourself, you know, as a geneticist, I believe that is what you said, and, you know, all of the researchers to help us learn these things and to take the, you know, the word apoptosis and make it something that we can understand.
Well, and I didn't realize that your cortisol levels impacted apoptosis. That's very interesting. Can continue on, please?
Yes.
Yes. Well, I mean, you guys are well educated. So what happens to those cells that are damaged if they don't undergo apoptosis?
Huh. Yeah. they get out of control with a crazy party and you wind up with a mass and you wind up with a team of doctors.
Yes.
Yes. And so because we know this, right, because we know that this happens in our group, in our community, we want to be as proactive and not as reactive as we possibly can, right? So how do we be proactive to decrease stress, to decrease anxiety, to try to get parents into this place where they no longer have PTSD so that they don't have these physical side effects afterwards that lead to an increased rate of cancer in our community?
That's what I was just going to ask. Is there an increased rate? Is it specifically breast cancer or is it every type of cancer?
Most of the studies that I read showed a larger increase in ovarian cancer.
Oh,
and
interesting.
Honest with you, I don't think it's studied enough. I don't think that the caregiver population has enough studies being done with it. To get the kind of data that we really need. I think it's a gap in some of the science that we're looking at, is that there's not a lot of research being done yet into family caregivers and physical outcomes. There's a lot going on with the emotional response, with financial burden, but I don't think there's been enough research yet into what that physically looks like, and if that does look like an increase of cancer. I did see a few that talked about ovarian, but not very many that touched on breasts.
I wonder if post-COVID, because I think that they've got to be studying the impact of stress and mental health, and that would definitely go into caregivers with people who have experienced COVID and been a caregiver to COVID. And then maybe that will expand the studies on the breast cancer caregiver and the ovarian cancer caregiver, and then the parents who are caregivers for their children as well with disabilities.
Yeah, I thought COVID was a very interesting, almost natural social experiment that we all undertook, right?
Yeah. I don't know if I would say natural.
Right? But everybody got to experience for 2 weeks what it was like to live totally isolated. And I think that there needs to be a real appreciation for the fact that that kind of social isolation is what caregivers experience, not for a week, not for a month, but for years.
Wow.
And that,
yeah,
social isolation takes a toll.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, can relate to the world, you know, that we're in with the breast cancer caregivers. And, you know, maybe their caregiving journey is a little bit shorter span than somebody like with your group, with the children with disabilities, because that's a long term, that's a full life caregiver a lot of the time. And, you know, just, you know, understanding and supporting the caregivers as well. You know, they're on their own journey through the struggles.
Well, thinking back to my husband, I mean, I was definitely isolated, but my husband became isolated because he had to be there at the house to take care of me, to take care of the children. And my journey was only 9 months through treatment. But when you look at someone who's metastatic, that's a lifelong treatment and lifelong caregiving. And that's a very, very stressful impact. I found it very shocking that 50% of spouses leave their wives during breast cancer treatment, and it is because of that high stress level.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think we need to do better in the medical community at taking a more holistic approach when it comes to treating some of these disabilities or these cancers, that it can't just be about the patient. We have to look at the entire family, because the entire family is impacted. And when you have spouses, for example, leaving their wives, now who's there to care for that woman going through all the treatment, right? So if you want to have a successful outcome for her, then you have to make sure that the husband is supported as well, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So what are the resources that you provide for your families and types of support?
We do a lot. We teach courses to parents. We are trying to give them that space to talk about that emotional journey, because having two kids with autism, I can tell you, they give you a piece of paper, here's your child's diagnosis, good luck. And there's this huge gap in between getting that diagnosis and getting the help and the support and the community that you need, and having that space to feel and go through the emotions that you need to go through to come out okay on the other side. So we offer a course called After the Diagnosis. That's for parents who are just kind of fresh into this world, to give them space, to allow them to meet other caregivers, to connect with their community, and to talk about their fears, their anxiety, what they think is going to happen, and connect them to the resources that they want. We provide support groups that are run by therapists who are disabled themselves. We provide counseling for parents, copay assist, or full scholarships if they don't have insurance, which many of our caregivers do not. We offer over 40 educational webinars are on our website that go into all of these crazy acronyms that you never thought existed or never knew existed. So how do you get AZIP, Arizona Early Intervention? How do you get into the ALTECS, Arizona Long-Term Care System? What the heck is an IEP, and how do you get one of them?
Yep.
What is a special needs trust? What is an ABLE account? I mean, there are so many things that you have to uncover. And before we centralized all this information, you're just scouring the websites, right? Scouring the internet, trying to find all of these different resources. And so what we're doing is we're putting everything on one website, making it really as easy as possible to navigate this journey, to connect with your community, and to get back out into the world. One of the other great things that we've done is we've partnered with the Phoenix Symphony and the Arizona Opera. You know, our parents don't spend money on themselves and don't take that time to get out of the house and to take a breath. And so what we've done last year, we gave out over 1,000 free tickets to the Phoenix Symphony, to our community, and worked with them to make their performance more accessible to us.
What a beautiful collaboration, and all of the programs that you provide as you were listing them, I thought, wow.
Yes.
And to have that one central location. What is your website where people can find these resources?
Care, the number 4, the caregivers with an S.org.
Care for the caregivers
.org. Yes,
dot
a nonprofit.org. Awesome. Well, we will definitely share your resource on social media. We will be sharing it within our podcast so people can find you, and we will share in the community for sure anywhere that we are. And Michelle, we hope you stay on. We have Robin here, our producer, who she has been a caregiver, and then Ashley has also been a caregiver. So before we do that, we are going to rock out, but we've got another question here.
Before we rock out, Holly, I wanted to ask Michelle, are you guys only in the state of Arizona?
Many of the supports that we provide are virtual. So we actually get a lot of participants from outside of the state too.
Okay.
Most in-person stuff is going to be here in Arizona. But because we do a lot of our training courses virtually, our support groups are virtual, we've had people from all over the United States and even some from other countries join into those support groups. And our counseling can be done virtually as well. So we can service anyone in the United States.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
Thank you. Great question,
Ashley. And to have that virtual option, I'm sure parents are so stressed. And do they have the time to get to you?
And did they have to find somebody to watch the kids so that they can go to the support group? So that having that virtual option is
yeah, great
amazing.
Question. And so again, careforthecaregivers.org. You can find their resources. And now we are going to take a quick break, and we are going to rock out with a fireside anthem formerly known as Punk Daddy. You can find them on SoundCloud at punk-daddy-az. You can find them on Facebook and Instagram, Fireside Anthem. They also have, we've had a long-term relationship with them. They produce our Pink Out 5K for the past 5 years. So we love, love, love them. They are so supportive. So let's rock out with Fireside Anthem.
I just gotta say, hey, 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 I love you so. Hey, 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 I love you so. Like you all around. And when you smile, I just set aside. Oh, every day. Oh, every day. Oh, every day. I love you so. Oh, every day. Oh, every day. Oh, every day. I love you so. When I cannot say no.
That was awesome. Thank you so much, Fireside Anthem. We appreciate your long-term support. So today we are here with Care for the Caregivers. We have Michelle with their team with us today. We also have Ashley Plum, who has been, she's our director of development, but she's also been a caregiver herself, and Robin, our producer, a caregiver. So we're gonna hear from them. What was your experience? You're a survivor. How are you a caregiver?
Yeah, I come from a special circumstance, not one that I would recommend to anybody. Both myself and my husband, we both had cancer. My husband had thyroid cancer.
Did he have cancer before you or after you?
He had cancer in 2009. I had my breast cancer in 2017. And along With all of that, our daughter was diagnosed with some different learning disabilities, ADD, ADHD, anxiety, and some vision disorders. So not only am I a caregiver of a cancer patient, I have also been a caregiver of a child with some disabilities.
It sounds like you could have used Care for the Caregivers.
I know. Oh my goodness. I wish I would have known about that, you know, when my daughter was younger and we were navigating the world, learning about her disabilities and everything. And I think the biggest thing that I can give advice on is, since I have been on both sides, you know, the survivor and the supporter and the caregiver, is to, for both people, to understand that your caregiver or your spouse that is going through the survivorship, or, you know, the children, everybody has difficulty with what they're going through as being the caregiver or being the patient. And you need to allow grace for both of those people. And, you know, when my husband had his cancer, you know, that was the first time we were both navigating that world, and he didn't understand why I was having a hard time and why I was stressed out. Like, he was the one with cancer. Why would I be the one that was having trouble? And so,
I would say selfishly, I did the same thing. I was like, well, he's not allowed to get upset. I'm the one with cancer.
Right.
And looking back, oh my gosh, he must have been so stressed out and couldn't share any of that emotion
exactly
with me. And I regret that I didn't realize how much pain he was probably in, just like me.
And you don't know. And I was frustrated with my husband because, like, how could he not understand? I had feelings too, you know. And then when I had my diagnosis, I remember after being a few weeks in and, you know, on the couch after treatment, after my chemo, and he comes up to me and he goes, I get it now. I get why being the caregiver is so difficult. It's completely different, but it's completely valid.
Wow, what a unique perspective that you have to share.
Yeah. And I'm like, thank you, you get it now. And I get his side now, you know, understanding that, you know, he didn't care about the little things. Like, he didn't care that the garbage didn't go out and I'm stressing out, you know, or something silly like that, you know. So it's like, it really helped me understand why he was feeling the way he did, and it helped him understand the way I was feeling as his caregiver.
Yes.
So yeah, it's a very unique situation.
Definitely. And yeah. Robin, you're here. I was so excited that we are working with you because I met you, I think 10 years ago at someone else's a radio interview, mm-hmm. and I heard your story and I never forgot it. You've been a caregiver. Would you like to share with us your experience?
I think the toughest thing for me is when I met my late husband, he was, 35? And he had beaten cancer 6 months prior to us meeting. And then within 6 months, we were engaged to be married. And by month 8 or 9 of our relationship, things started happening again. And we didn't understand. There was a lot of misdiagnosis that went on, even by the doctors that had found a cancer the first time. And it was very difficult for him because, I mean, you're talking a very vital, strong, I mean, my late husband had such a presence about him. And to find out that his cancer had come back, and here he was 35, getting ready to get married. We found each other, the love of our lives. And
you were just getting ready to start your lives together.
Yes. Yeah. And it was so overpowering because you're taking a very viral man, and we know how men are very tough. They like to present that. They don't like to be weak. They don't want to show that sensitive side. But going through that journey with him at such a young age, I mean, I had already had so much death in my life prior to this. I thought I was ready for that. But when your heart is so invested and you're taking care of them every single day, you forget about yourself. And I was grateful that my son was 15 at the time, and him and his stepdad bonded extremely well. And there were times where my son had to pretty much bail me out and do something for his stepdad. And we all know the ickiness of some of the stuff that we have to do as caregivers. It's not always fun. And I'm grateful that my son had the wherewithal to step in and be able to mop up some of those messes that I had just grown so exhausted doing, because the last year of our life together, we married in the hospital because he almost died twice. And we were only married 7 months when he passed away. But the thing I got out of it more than anything, being a 33-year-old woman dealing with that, was that, again, we have to set our own self aside for a brief moment and understand what they're going through. And I couldn't impose my feelings upon him because he was struggling enough to try to survive this thing called testicular cancer, metastasized into 7 tumors. And for me, when you guys are talking about how we have to be careful, I ended up being diagnosed with the muscular and nerve pain of shingles because I was the sole caregiver at the time with a little help from my son when he was home from school. His parents and everybody else lived way on the other side of town. So it was me doing the day-to-day. Plus, I had to still work a job to pay the bills.
It goes back to those high levels of stress that really do impact your health. It impacts your immune system. It impacts the ability to heal itself.
Yes.
Yeah. And my gosh, I can't believe every time I've heard your story a few times, and every time you share, I'm so touched. And it's such courage to go through that. It was so young, and
you know
the
what
love
helped
of your
me?
Life.
I'll tell you one thing that really helped me a lot. He needed some sense of independence, like being able to transfer because of much muscle atrophy. He was having physical therapy, so he needed me to empower him. And this sounds really off the wall, but I had to empower him to do some things by himself. So I would set up things around the house that would make it so much easier for him, that would empower him. Something as simple as transferring from the wheelchair to the porta potty, we'd have that in the living room. The trash can was open right outside the door, so he could bag up his own mess from the porta potty and go wheel himself over to the trash can and throw it out. I tried to empower him because I knew I couldn't take on everything. And I knew that if we left things a certain way, the house would be less than pleasant for anybody to be in.
Well, and not only your house, you empowered him emotionally to feel like a man again, of I can take care of just basic needs that you didn't have to do everything. How beautiful that you had that insight to be there for him.
I think it's because I was a single mom for so many years, and you want to empower when you're raising your children. We have to remember we're raising young adults. So it's kind of like one of those things where you have to think about that. And the greatest thing that I did when I had those moments where I couldn't just do anything or talk to anybody. And it's like therapy for me. I went down, way down at the edge of the hallway, went in the closet, grabbed a pillow, put it up to my face and screamed as loud as I could. And man, that just took every ounce of pressure and stress off of me.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
He didn't hear anything.
I wasn't like that. I just screamed and cried in the room. And I wonder why my whole family has PTSD from breast cancer.
Well, I know, like, to you know, piggyback on what you were saying about going down to the closet and screaming in a pillow. And, you know, and I honestly don't know if my husband knows this, but he probably will after listening to this podcast, is, you know, I would go down into the separate room and just cry. You know, just to let out that emotion and, you know, talk to family or friends just to get it out,
you
know,
so
that he didn't see that.
Yes.
You know, and I'm sure he saw it sometimes. I'm sure he heard it sometimes because our walls are thin and it's not a very big house. So,
yeah.
But, you know, and it's important that, you know, our caregivers, you know, get support as well. You know, so, you know, all of those survivors out there that are listening, to those caregivers that are out there listening, please go get assistance. Join a support group for caregivers. You really need to take care of yourself. And, you know, Michelle, you talked about the cortisol levels, you know, that how important that is and the science behind it.
Hearing everyone's stories today, are your caregivers experiencing the same emotions?
Absolutely. Yeah, I was hearing them and I was like, wow, it's so relatable, because it is that feeling of you don't want to put your stress and anxiety onto them, right? So
yes.
You just suppress it. And that's where all of the issues come from, right? Finding healthy ways to express all of that anxiety and fear, and giving yourself permission to do it.
Yes, exactly. You have it. That's the key. You got to give yourself permission to be able to feel and to get that help.
Yeah. So, ladies, thank you so much for sharing today. What great testimonies and insight. And Michelle, thank you for sharing Care for Caregivers today. And we will definitely share your information with the community. Absolutely amazing. So we are going to wrap up today we always wrap it up with a quiz. So one of the things that lowers your stress, they have done studies, is volunteering and giving back to the community. So our quiz for you today is, how can you get involved with Check for a Lump? Is it making gifts and delivering our Super Survivor kits? Is it creating encouraging cards for breast cancer patients? Can you help stuff Super Survivor kits? Can you help with general office assistance? Can you help stuff our swag bags? Can you prepare for and help at Check for a Lump events? Which one is it?
Ooh. Ashley. I would say it is all of the above.
Ding, 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 ding. Yes, there are so many ways you can get involved with Check for a Lump. And again, it really does lower your stress. They have done studies, and they've done studies that people who volunteer their time, are philanthropic with their time, with their dollars, with their energy, they live longer. I just read that in a book. I don't know if I can promote, but a great book. I think I can promote books, right? There's no copyright on that. Brainwash. It's in that, a very interesting book on rewiring your brain and lowering your stress levels. So again, I want to thank Michelle. I want to thank Robin. I want to thank my Wonder Wing woman, Ashley Plum, our director of development. And our thanks to our annual title sponsors, Arizona Center for Reconstructive Breast Surgery, Cancer and Blood Specialists of Arizona, Cigna, Harvest Trueleave, The Mint, Pfizer, and Sonora Quest Laboratories. So thank you, our supporters, for checking in with Check for a Lump, and we will see you next week.